Simcha Samach Aleph, which again deals primarily with the basic rules of returning rivers. We had Rosh Shach Dalet at the end of last week. The issue was the rule that all rivers d'oraisa yotze b'dayanim. If somebody has paid rivers d'oraisa, that he's obligated to return, then the receiver is obligated to return it, and he can be forced to do so. However, if it's rivers d'rabbanon, then rivers d'rabbanon, he cannot be forced to do so. The rivers d'rabbanon, it's not easy day shemayim, you should return it, but you can't be compelled by best. So the Shach said, what happens if it's something which is a machlaikis? If it's ribis d'araisa, ribis d'rabbanon. So Shach Dalet said, nira dafka avak ribis l'kuli alma. Only something that's ribis d'rabbanon according to all opinions. Aval heicha diyesh machlaikis ben apais, gimme avak ribis, ribis k'sutza. Ein mitziyam ha'alaiva itafas. If it's a machlaikis, you don't have to pay. But if the person grabs it on his own, in other words, so you can't be teveya, but on the other hand, tfisa helps, as it does by all sveikis and dinei, and just about all sveikis by dinei mamonis. So I wanted just to discuss an example of suffik ribis d'raisa, suffik ribis d'rabbanan. My motivation, it's really, I believe, Simon Kufay and Dalin. But since we're not going to learn Simon Kufay and Dalin, I wanted to take the opportunity here to point out a ribis situation, which is a machlokes d'oraisa and d'rabbanan. Everybody, it's a machlokes reviewed in the Chachamim in the Gemara, and it's also a machlokes in the Paiskim. It's something called Sad Echad Beribis. Sad Echad Beribis means an arrangement which Sad Echad, one possible result of the arrangement, might end up being that it's going to be Ribis. What is the case? So the Gemara actually has a case as follows. Someone sold a building. In Gemara's case, it was a shul, it's not nogea to us. Someone sold a building, sold a house, because he didn't have enough money, he was stuck for money. But really, he would have preferred to keep the house. But he was tight for the money, so he sold the house. But he made a condition in the contract, and it's basically an escape clause. He said, I'm selling you the house today, but if within 2 years I have enough money to buy it back from you, I'll refund your purchase money, and the sale will be void. The sale will be voided, and I'll get my house back. For the same money, I'll just return the money to you. That's the contract that's discussed in the Gemara. Well, I'm talking 2 years, a month. Within a month, I can give you back your money. I get the house back. What's the problem? Should be no problem. Doing a contract with an escape clause. Should be no issue. It becomes an issue when the buyer has a right to live in the house for that month or those 2 years. The buyer lives in the house for the month. At the end of the month, he gets his money back. And he ends up with 1 month free rent. He's living in the house for a month for free. And since he's living in the house a month for free, why is he living in the month free? All he did for the other fellow was give him money, which he got back, which is really a loan. Now, why is that called Tzad Echad Beribis? Because there are two tzadim, there are two possible outcomes. On the day you sign the contract, you sell someone a house, and you have an escape clause. What's going to happen? Two things may happen. You may not have enough money, and there'll be a sale, in which case it won't be ribis. Or you may end up with the money, return it, in which case it will be ribis. Sad echad beribis. One of the two possible outcomes is ribis. Is that called ribis ktsutsa? Ribis ktsutsa is ribis that was made up at the time of the deal? That's the question. If I make an arrangement which might end up being ribis, may not, Tzarecha v'ribis, that's a machlekes of Ribis Tzareis, Ribis Rabban.
Even if it winds up being ribis, it's not ribis ketuzah, because it could be any time during that time period. So the amount of ribis isn't going to be made up. Does that matter?
Well, what we're making up is that you can live in the house until
you're
I
making
pay.
Making up a ribis, but not for a specific amount.
Yeah, well, every time. If I say I'm going to pay you 10% a month or 10% a year, for how long? For as long as it goes on. So the same thing here. I'm paying you that you can live in the house. How long? As long as it goes on.
Isn't this the problem also with the Torah tapes originally?
With Torah tapes, okay, that would be another good example. Okay, one second.
I also understood that Sutta means when you make up a time, how much at the beginning. You didn't make up a time in the beginning. You just shut in. It happens to be that you're living
there. If you say that you're going to pay a percentage for the life of the loan, that's Sutta.
Yes,
the percentage is you can live in the house for the life of the loan.
That. You just have to be an outcome because you take it back. That's
the difference. Yeah, but you are saying it because you're allowing him to live in the house.
It's not lying, it's because it's his.
It's not his.
He pays back the money, it's
considered
his.
It may end up being his, but it may not end up being his. Alright, that's what Machlokes Reb Yehuda and the Chacham in the Gemara. That's Ribis Tzareis, Ribis Rabbanan. Everyone agrees that it's something which is Aser. And if somebody would want to make a contract with an escape clause, he would, a pashtus, there'll be a second eitz in a minute, but pashtus he would have to say, either don't live in the house, or pay rent, fair market rent, for the house. It has to be a fair market value, otherwise that itself is ribis.
Or buy the house.
Buy the house back
instead of reversing the original.
So that's an issue, okay. Alright, this is tzarech of a ribis. Now before I get to the discussion, this is not only in purchase of real estate. The Mishnah Megillah, when it talks about selling a shul, has this example, but it's lavdafka real estate. If you buy a vacuum cleaner from Mr. Orek, is Jewish, I don't even know, but if they buy a vacuum cleaner from a Jew and you have a right to return, there's a trial period. You can try it for a month and then return it. So you try it for a month and then you return it, you get your money back. It's the same problem. You used it for a month without paying for the use of it for a month.
But that's probably the manufacturer, who's probably not a Jew, who provides
if it's
that
a Jew.
Service.
You're right. In the case where it's a Jew that's doing it, then it's a problem. Here, actually, you're not lending money to the manufacturer. You're giving the money to the owner of the store. He's the one using it. I go into a store, I give him $500, I take a machine. It's just on the money I gave him, which he can use for a month. I gave him money. No, if I didn't pay, there's no problem. If I buy it and I give him money, I give him $500, and I have a right to return it in a month. He has use of the $500 for a month. So if I give him a post-dated check for the end of the month, there'd be no shiloh. But if he has use of the money for that month, then the use of it is a problem. Now, obviously, this comes into serious shilas, and we need an eitz how a person can run a business. Most people run businesses, sell things. They have a right. The person as a buyer has a right to return it if he's not satisfied. We need an eitz.
Both the guy is losing the money and the other guy is losing the house.
That's ribis. If you give someone use of money and for that he lets you use your house, that's ribis. It's fair, but it's ribis.
Isn't that a standard warranty business? You buy something with a warranty?
Yeah, it's a standard warranty. Right, and that's where the problem is. Well, actually, a warranty is if it breaks, not if you're unsatisfied. I'm talking the case where it doesn't. If it breaks, it breaks. But in a case where the sale itself is totally your satisfaction, that's a different story. Alright, I'm going to explain. Good. Okay, good. Well, let me tell you.
What?
Yeah, but he's not giving back the same money. It's not a pekud, it's something he used. It's not something he watched, it's something he used. And the ikar is that the money wasn't a pekud, the money was a loan, so now he has a benefit, that's a problem. Agav, there are people who go into stores originally buying things, they want to use it for a few days and returning it later, and that's Geneva. Rabbi Krohn tells a story, which I hope is not true, about somebody who went to buy a gown in a place, and they cut the gown, they put the hands in, gowns have pockets, the whole story is suspicious, but anyway, put the hands in a pocket, and there was a card that said, Ateroskaya. So he went to the store, says that this is a used gown, it's not a used gown, has a card, Ateroskaya. Oh, we get plenty of those. When Jews buy it and they don't like it, they always put it back with a card from a chasna hall. So we got a whole collection of them. You know, people go, they use it for the wedding, they return it. So that's Geneva, because it's not sold with that in mind. It's sold that you can try it, if you're not happy, you can return it. But not that l'chatchila, that's your intention. People tell me, what do you mean you could do it? I said, yeah, just tell the salesperson. I really don't plan to use it, but I have this wedding next week, so I'm going to use it and return it. She says, yeah, that's what we mean, and it's fine. What? Nobody liked it. Yeah.
But the fact that people know that some people do that, the owner knows that some people...
I mean, he's happy with it. The owner knows that people shop with. Now, we need an eitzah in Ribbis. You have a business, you're selling, you have property you're selling, the guy wants an escape clause, what do you do? So there are two eitzahs. One is the Taz's eitzah, one is the Samar's eitzah, which are brought down, it's not in this siman, later in Kufay and Dalit. There are two Eitzah. The Eitzah really comes from the following case in the Rishayim, the first Eitzah. The Eitzah really comes from the following case in the Rishayim, and that is, there's a case where someone sold a house, unconditionally, the buyer bought it. A few days later he comes back and he asks the seller, do me a favor, I really didn't want to sell it. I was stuck for money. Now I see some hope. Give me an escape clause. So subsequently, he gave him an escape clause. And so in this case, the place can say it's not a problem. Why? It's exactly the same thing. He said, no. The Mechira was a Mechira Gemura. It was a real sale. Later, he did him a favor. He says, if you give me money, I'll give it back. That doesn't retroactively invalidate the sale. Is a good sale. Later, I'm just buying it back. So based on this, a number of Acharayim, Taz, the Chavis Das hold, that you can do that in the first place. A store really could say, all sales are final. If you're not happy, we'll buy it back from you. We'll repurchase it from you within 30 days. As long as it's done that way, it's a mechira, it's mecher. It's more than just derech mecher, which would make a drabana. It's a mechira gemura. The money is mine. And later, I obligate myself to buy it back. If it's phrased that way, then there is no problem. This is the opinion of probably most achrayim. Can you say anything with a house? You could say, I'm buying it, and I obligate myself to sell it back to you if whatever the deal may be. That's not a ribbis problem. See, it's a final sale. It's going to be resold. And as long as things are set up that way, there is no issue. Now, there are mefakhtikin on this. Say it's not similar. In the other case, it was a final sale and he came back 2 days later. But most achrayim agree with this kula. However, the sma disagrees with this kula, holds that there is a second eitzah, and if you combine the two eitzahs, then it's good l'kuli alma. The Sma says that what you have to do, if you want to have a escape clause, is to say that the escape clause kicks in a few days after the sale. There has to be first a period, however brief, that the sale is final by contract. In other words, I'm selling you a house for 30 days. I'm selling you a house. And so you can buy it back within 30 days, but the first week you can't buy it back. The first week, it's mine, you can't buy it back. After the first week, then you could. The Sma says that this serves to make the idea, it's based on the same heter, it should be a mecher, but it makes it real. It makes that it won't be retroactively invalid, because l'maisa, the week you didn't have the choice. So that an escape clause, if it has both of these conditions, as far as I know, would be good l'kuli alma, and that is to say that the sale is final. If you want to buy it back after a week, it could be after one day, after 2 days, after a period of time, you have the option of buying it back, and that'll be a new sale. At that time, I could sell it to you cheaper. It doesn't matter. Even if I buy a house, and then I sell it back to you, and it's a year later, the house went up in value. Why am I selling it for a cheaper price? Because that was the contract. As long as there's no loan, it's no problem. You're allowed to do a year a favor. Just there should be no loan. So that's why if the mecher is the final mecher, there is no loan, and then there's no problem. This is the two coolers of Tzarecha Beribis. Yeah.
But he lived in the house too. We have the same cash we had before. He lived in the house.
He's allowed to live in the house if there's no loan. As long as there's no loan. And what he's doing, instead of saying I'm retroactively undoing the previous sale, under the new sale. A new sale, that means there's no loan. No money was ever loaned.
Many times we said something about a restocking
fee. When
you return something, you take a nominal amount of money on the return.
Would that
satisfy
Rivas? If the restocking fee is a restocking fee, then it's a problem because you're reimbursing them what they estimate their cost to be. So then it's a problem again. The truth is, let's say you buy an iron, return it. The restocking fee is not the ribbis. The ribbis is the use of it. What Chai meant is you're using it, you got to pay for it, so maybe the restocking fee should cover it. The thing is this, some things, let's say you buy an iron, you return it. What's the rental value for an iron for a month? Very hard. You know, it's one thing if it's a house or a car, they're rental fees. Or perhaps gowns, they're also rental fees. But on small items that you buy, a $10 tape recorder, use it for a month and you're not happy, you return it, it's very hard to know what the fair market rental fee for such a thing is. There really is, I don't know, there really is no fair market rental fee for something like that. What? Usually they'll only take it back if they can still sell it as new. If it's scratched or damaged, they're not going to take it back. So that's a bit of an issue. I don't know how you would exactly pay something like that back. How do you do it? Give a fair market value. You give them a dollar. I don't know. $1 a lot on a $10 item. Use it for a month. So
if you're looking to rent a
paper cover,
it's not likely you'll find one for a dollar.
The amount you have to rent it for, you can buy one. So that means there's no fair market rental.
Can't.
It depends what type of tape recorder. I'm in a different world than you. In my world, you can buy a $10 tape recorder. And you get $8 tape recorders, too. Even with amazing savings closing. All right, so that is the issue of Tzarecha Beribis. As I said, it's a side issue. I use the phrase escape clause. This is an escape clause of one type. There are other escape clause issues, which maybe we'll get to at a different time.
Why does he sell by Yiddishmaim? I didn't have to give it to you all in Yiddishmaim. You grabbed it.
Right. Tfisa, okay. That's a little complicated. The question is really based on other ideas. Let's say I owe you something, let's say Yiddishmaim. And you grab it. Does that grabbing help? There's a Rashi in Bava Kama, Sadik or so, who says, by Kolev the Rabbi, that Rashi is talking, that Tfisa helps. That, let's say a Jew on Shabbos, drives into your car. So now, you really can't be Tavei him. Because Bezalel says, Pater. He was assuming he was pushing the gas pedal as he rammed into your parked car. Hopefully your car was parked at the time. Right, so you really can't be... if you go to Bez, the Bez won't be Mechayivim. Come live to Rabbi Nei. He was over on Isser Shabbos. He was Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos... Chal Shabbos is Chai Misa, even Chai Misa Shaygigin, even though he's a Mimuta, is Potter. And it seems to be a Davar Pashit this way that would be the Halacha. I glad there was by Chaim Kanievsky. I'm not someone who usually runs around to bother all of the Gedal Yisrael, but this summer I was in Bnei Brak at a relative of mine, and he seems to be close to Kanievsky. He just got me right in. So I asked him two things. Coincidentally, one of them I'm going to talk about this coming Matzah Shabbos. The other, I asked him about Kol Noy Dura Aminei. I asked him if someone throws a breaks my window on Yid, throws a rack and breaks my window on Shabbos, could I be Teveyim Amin? It's Kol Noy Dura Aminei. He said, yeah, you could. It's a Bekalko. I said, okay. Well, let's say what he was doing was a Misakin, just the Agav was Bekalko too, like driving a car. The actual pushing of a gears is not Bekalko. So he said, yeah, it's coming to Rabbi Nei, then in Achinami, it'd be part. Now, Rashi says that Fisa helps. By coming to Rabbi Nei, that you can be typhus. From there, we learn that in the numerous cases where someone is obligated to pay Latzisi De Shemayim, that Fisa helps. I think I once mentioned here downstairs an incident with being typhus kefal that happened in the yeshiva. Someone was in the dorm, and someone, for a joke, they stole his camera. Happens to be, he has an expensive camera. Someone stole it for a joke. He took it for a joke and put it into his cabinet. And when the guy came back and was looking for it, you know, he was like laughing under his breath at the other end of the room. Later on, the Nignav found out who stole it. So he went, he took back his camera. He was also typhus kefal. He also took his tape recorder. I don't know what else he took. He was typhus kefal. So he came back. He said, "Ha! Joke's on me. Joke's on you." And the next day he came to yeshiva and they used to shayla. He said, "It's true. Stealing for a joke is gedeva. We learn how to rebay akra. And being typhus kefal helps, even though we're not tevei kefal. Was not as that. Tfisa works. So if he ended up keeping it, I don't know. But tfisa works for kefal. So there are a number of things that tfisa helps for." For Avak Ribis, I'm not sure that Tfisa helps. As Mashon Deshach, that doesn't help. The reason is this. Tfisa only helps in Rashi's case, or in other cases, where Be'esam there's a Chiyuv, just there's no Kayach in Bezdin to be Mechayiv. For example, how do we know that you don't, that Kamei D'Ramine? It's a din in Bezdin. It's a k'day rishasai. Bezdin punishes him k'day rishasai. Mishum risha achas ata mechayvai. Vi ata mechayvai mishum shtei rishai. So read the words. Mishum risha achas ata mechayvai. Who's ata? Bezdin. Mishum risha achas you Bezdin could be mechayvim. V'loi mishum shtei rishai. It's a chesaron in Bezdin. If somebody is b'chal Shabbos and you break someone's a car, a body is chayiv to pay. But it didn't bez, the bez is not b'chayiv misen moment. But be'etzem, there's a chiyuv. Same thing by kefal. If you hold that tfisa helps by kefal, which is the way we paskin, then the pshat is that there's a chiyuv be'etzem in kefal. The Rishonim would disagree. The Rishonim hold you're not chayiv kefal until bez is b'chayiv knas, until bez is b'chayiv knas. We hold be'etzem, there's a chiyuv. And that's why Tfisa helps. So Avak Ribis, assuming that Tfisa doesn't help, I have to see if we'll see anything different. It's Siv Gimel, actually, which we're up to. Then, that's because Be'etzem there is no Chiyuv. So let's talk a see Siv Gimel.
Let's go back a minute.
Yeah.
We talk about the case of the store. Yeah. Most Jewish stores, you don't have a sign out that we're buying it back in 30 days. So what is it with Avak?
It's a problem.
You
can give it back. You have to give him the fair rental value of using it for the time you used it. If you used it once, it didn't work well, I don't think there's a fair rental value. Anytime it's a mekartos, I'm not talking. Mekartos is a mekartos. It's not a trial period. But But otherwise, it's a problem. If you get back a store credit only. So the question is, if you get a store credit only, so what happened? You gave him money, and you bought the right to buy anything in the store at any time. Well, it has lesser value, it's also true, but even beyond that, what really happened is when you give him the money, you give him $100, he's selling you really anything in the store that you want for $100. So you can use this, you can use that. And it would seem to be okay if it's only a store. If that's a condition of sale, that's a store credit. It's not.
It's essentially a final sale.
Paying you back money, it's not a real loan.
So it's not a loan.
If you don't use it, it's not an issue, right?
If you didn't use it, it's not an issue. That's what it says. If he doesn't live in the house, it's not an issue. It's funny because if he has the right to use it, I would think that itself is worth money, but. Siv Gimel, Avak Ribisim Tafas Leiva Mishal Mavel Mafkin Aminei. Tfisa doesn't help by Avak Ribis. Siv Dal. Loy Amru, Da Avak Ribis Yaitse Bidayanim. Eri Yaitse Bidayanim. Ela Bishacha Amalva Midas Haleiva. That's only if the Malva was given the ribis willingly by the leiva. The leiva comes running to the malva and he says, we made a deal, I sold you something and I gave you ribis that not only can you do that, but you can also use my driveway, let's say. See, when he told them don't use it, so this is common that he went to court and he got his money. Let's say it's a case of ribis d'rabbanan. Let's say a sale that calls for interest if he pays late. So he went to court and he took it. That is a different story. If the money was taken shalai kedin originally, so then yaitze b'dayanim, you're entitled to get your money back. Okay, is this the halacha again? Is it shchiach? I don't know. Shchiach that people go to court, and the truth is, it's not well known. If someone goes to court shalai kedin tarkais, he really has a very big liability. Someone who takes someone else to court shalai without rishus, first of all, any money he's awarded more than Bezdin would award him, he has to return. If someone goes to court, even Bershus Bezdin, and the court gives you, let's say, money for mental anguish or any of these things, or that shalayu pi halacha, the din is that you have to return it to the yid from whom you took it. It's not your money. Worse, if you take him to court shalaykadin, you're really obligated to reimburse him his lawyer's fees. The lawyer's fees that he expended in going to court, you're a garmi, it's bari azeka, maybe it's grama, maybe it's garmi, but I think in halacha it says it's a garmi, and if he had no right to go to court, and you took him to court, then you have to reimburse him the cost.
So in other words, in the child support situation, if someone brought a woman brought a man to court seeking child support, and they had what's known as the Child Support Standards Act in the New York State Legislature throughout the United States, and it has nothing to do with Sarek, it has to deal with this abstract numbers, whereas Bethan might say, you only need X amount of dollars, this could be vastly higher.
The child support issues, as you know, are quite complicated. You deal with the most antagonistic cases. Generally, these things end up in some type of settlement. When a man settles or a woman settles, the halacha may be different, because it's true that there was undue pressure put on to settle, but the settlement was done willingly. The court didn't impose it. If the court didn't impose a settlement, the halacha may be different, because Lamaisi signed it willingly to avoid Agmas Nefesh, and he successfully avoided the Agmas Nefesh, so that may be very different. It's also, as you know, there are different opinions on how
child support should be allotted even al pitin Torah. So it's quite a complicated issue. I'm just speaking in general terms.
What about insurance companies? Get money from his insurance?
Getting money from insurance is a very interesting shiloh. It's really a much more simple shiloh. If Reuven and Shimon, two yidden. So let's just think of an example out of the blue air. Let's say Reuven has a bakery, and Shimon was eating a Danish, and there was a nutshell in the Danish, and he bit on it and he broke his tooth. So what do you do in America? You sue. You mean you didn't break your tooth, right? You got a nutshell in the nut. So you sue him. Are you allowed to sue him? Are you allowed to go to... Are you suing a yid? You know, I'll sue a yid in court. Or should he say, listen, I'm not suing you. I'm suing your insurance company. You have insurance. I'm suing your insurance company. And because I'm suing the insurance company, it's between us. Now, if there's anything you're going to have to pay, I won't take it from you. Your liability is covered till X number of dollars. Anything above that, I won't take it. I'm from a yid. Now, later, I'll have a big yitzhar to take it. But let's say that's what his plan truly is.
You can't sue
an insurance. Is that called suing a yid or suing a guy?
You can't sue an insurance company.
You sue the person, and the insurance company covers, basically. So this is it's an interesting issue.
Yes, premiums are going
up. It may or may not, depending on how often he's sued and how much a period of time. But there is a printed psak, and I don't say this is, he said it, but Yashiv once said that don't rely on things printed in my name. If you didn't hear it from me, don't rely. It's once a whole sefer that came out, all kinds of psakim and Hilchos Shabbos. And he gave out, he never writes anything, come out, but he gave out a koil that whatever it says in his name from that sefer, they shouldn't rely on. Because the sefer was granted all chumras, everything, he's machmor on everything. So he said not to rely on it. The sefer has gone through a reprinting or two since then, but I don't know, maybe they changed it.
Once you repute it, the sales went up.
So it's said Bishmai that he told someone that he can do it, as long as he's taking only from the insurance company off of the yin. It may or may not be so. There's a takasara that way, but I can't. I couldn't say. Okay, getting back to Ribis, let's turn to Sifhei.
The guy who's being sued could tell this insurance company that he doesn't want coverage on this issue.
He doesn't want coverage.
He doesn't want coverage on this issue, but don't cover
it. He's a goyim hefsid to the other yid.
He should only take it as a personal
liability. He's a goyim hefsid to the other yid. No. Okay, Sifhei involves the very basic rule that comes up all the time, probably the most important sif in the simin. The issue of what you paid your mistakes to getting it back. Although what I deal with, usually there are very few yidden that really are involved in Ribbis Deraisa. It's usually through Mr. Rabbanan, it's usually Derech Mecha Chomenka or so. But nevertheless, these are the dinim of Ribbis Deraisa.
Borrowing credit cards, that's Deraisa.
Credit cards would be Deraisa. Ribbis Deraisa should be Derech Avah B'Davar Kotzov. Ribbis Deraisa, we said there are two basic conditions. Derech Halvah, not Derech Me'akach, and Davar Katzuf has to be Ribbis Katzutza. Yaitza B'dayanim, go to Bezdin and force him to take away the money. Shayu Kaifin, Umakin Oisai Acha Teitzei Nafshai. And they beat the guy up, Acha Teitzei Nafshai. Don't kill him, but you can do till he's almost going to die. You got to ask him how he feels. But you're allowed to beat him up, best, and not you. There's a lot of beat him up. What?
You have to specify the amount, the rate, and the length of time, or
no? If it's a rate, it's also ketsutza, or if it's a set dollar amount. Aval ain best in yardin lanachasa, but best is not typhus from his property, and b'chein behoveyu al chatzerai. If he lent him money against his chatzer, v'amalei amanashi yida b'chinam. Oh, yes, yes, pachus. If he lent him money on the condition he lets him live in his house for free, or at a reduced rate, kiyaitza bai. Any such type of ribbis, the halacha is that we force the person to our ability today in Galus, we force the person to do it. Of course, there's a star at the bottom of the page. It says Bizman Shahayam Shalom Sanhedrin Yisrael Beretz Yisrael. It was actually put in for the censors, but in practical terms, I don't think we take on ourselves to beat people up. But nevertheless, the halacha is that a person is obligated to return to B'stei Reis Ad Kedekach. Taz Gimel has a chiddush otzum about B'stei Reis. A big kula for people who may be sitting here and realize that they once arrived on Ribbis, they paid already, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You have to pay back. Listen to the kula, first four words of the Taz. Mira, Taz Gimel, Yetzib Adayanim, Mira, Dafka Im Tavai, Dafka Im Tavai. Only if he asks for the money back. And what he says? Let's say I once lent someone money, I lent him my credit card, and I didn't know it's Osir. And he paid everything back. It's all past away, it's history, it's 5 years ago. And now I'm learning to say, oh my gosh. You know, he had thousands of dollars in interest, and he paid it. It's Ribbis Dei Raisa. I really have to give him back all these thousands of dollars. So the Taz says, Dafka Im Tavai, only if he asks for the money. There's no statute of limitations. But there's a statute of limitations. It's the lifetime of the person. The children are not obligated to do it. So it's 120 years minus your present age. But this is a great cooler. It's a handy cooler to know. Dafkin Tavai, if he asked for the money back. If he didn't ask for the money back, then not. Why? What? If he goes to Dayanim, then I'm obligated to pay him back. Ribbis Dei Reis, I'm going to return. So what's Shannon the Taz? No, the Taz says, you mean Yetzib Ad Yarim Dafkim Tavi, that's Peshitta, that you don't have to tell me. No. Let's see his raya and you'll see. Some status less than Avak Rivis. Actually, it should depend on the two pshatim that I'll tell you in a minute. Alright, so what Manus is tithing is, no, it doesn't say what I said. It says, Yosef B'dayanim in Tavai, but maybe you'll look to pay anyway. Let's see his raya. His second raya. Raya B'dibri Rashi, Perek Rivis. They call it Zednesh of Perek Rivis. So, Shaydeh, how you kaif it, I say, Bezl Azira, in Tavai B'chaya. If he's Tavai, he calls him out, he's alive. Umizek Hasavti B'chayshim Mishpat, Simen Ayin. Be'echad Shetan, Ein Loi L'shalem, V'loi Nimtza Loi Mamin. Somebody had a regular din Torah, and the person who has to pay says, I have no money. Ve'en loy nimtza loy mamon rak v'shalakach echad kvar mimenu ribis k'tzutza. All there is, all and only has zero assets. He has one asset. Somebody once took ribis k'tzutza from him. V'noisha b'lakach ha'zeh ribis v'shil ha'loiva. And the noisha, the one who's now is entitled to be repaid, says, look, let's go get the ribbis back and pay me from that. Ina dinimai. The kisha ain't katfia min alaiva. Ain't shum kfia me abeznam ala makabu. Her ribbis bar zirai. Again, here he's only saying that bez is not machuyin. Oy raya. Darina kan deina bez in yadul lechosav. Raksha yukai for the ice. Yukai mitzvah sasei. Vachaya chichimach. Really, bez does not typhus from him. It's just a mitzvah sasei. Vachaya chichimach. There's an explanation of Chayshim Mishpat. He has to give him chiyus, has to give him an ability to buy things, and now when he won't have it. And the truth is, from the Hemshuch Lashna Taz, Yitaka don't see my explanation of the Taz, but we'll see in a second the explanations of the Shita Sataz, which I think will. will lend credence at least to a possibility. This Taz, what?
The Machinosi Architects in Nashville used for the Mitzvah Chayyah
Chizimov. For Mitzvah Chayyah, can I call Mitzvah Chayyah Chizimov?
No, so that's the Mitzvah Chayyah Chizimov. You kill him in order to do his time.
Okay. Pshat in the Taz. What's Pshat in the Taz? I only have to pay back Ribbis, the way I'm Tashing Taz. I only have to pay back Ribbis if he's Tevei Adi. There's a Machlaikis, what the Kavanas HaTaz is. The Ksais, the first Ksais of Simon Tess, says that the Pshat is that any time he's not Tevei Adi, there's no Chiyuv in the first place. The Chiyuv of paying Ribbis of a chayichi chayimach is only an obligation if there's a tefiyah. That is the definition of the chiyuv. And be'etzem, there's no chiyuv without a tefiyah. That's what the Ketzai says. Now that sounds like kalocha b'shem Sinai. Why should it be such a thing? So the Shar Mishpat, there on Chayshim Mishpat, he says that it's not a dabra mistaber, stama halacha. He says that applies mechila. That obliges calls the man that the person did not calls the man he was not teveya. We assume that he's Michael, and calls the man that there's a mechila. The mechila you don't have to pay. So if I know I owe someone ribbis stoma, we assume that there's a mechila, and calls the man that there's a mechila. I don't have to pay. This is the Shar Mishpat's explanation of the Taz, which is the only one that really has some logic to it, has at least a little bit of explanation to the Taz. That's the kasha. Once he's Michael, how can he change his mind later? So it seems that he holds, he explains this, that Shar Mishpat learns this, he says, you can assume he's Michael until he's Tevaya. Calls about there's no hachlota, no mechila that's clear that I know about. I can't say you're Michael. Calls about you're not Tevaya. I have a right to assume that there was a mechila, and if you'll be Tevaya, I can't prove there was a mechila. I'll have to pay. Today's talking on Rivers. Afghan Rivers. Yeah. This is the Shitas HaTaz. The Pesachei Tshuva brings Chayokim. Truth is, the Sma himself, his master, not like the Taz. And Ramayshit has a big taina on this Taz, on the Shar Mishpat's explanation. He says, what are you talking about? He's Michael. He's Michael. Every ribbis, he gives it for a Sinai. What do you mean he's Michael? Every ribbis, I need money, I say, lend me $1,000, I give you back $1,100. I give you back the $1,100. That's ribbis. Ribbis generally is given Mirat Sinai Ataif. Gemara says, why can't you learn Hilchus Geneva at Hilchus Ribbis? It's not Hilchus Ribbis that he gives Brit Sinai. So Ramesh says he doesn't understand this whole Taz with Shar Mishpat's explanation. What do you mean he's Michael? Every Ribbis is Michael when he gives it. Now it's true, once I paid Ribbis, if I'm Michael to reimburse, but it's Mechila. But the fact that I'm not Tevea you doesn't prove I'm Michael my reimbursement. All it proves is that I paid it for its Sinai. For its Sinai, I don't want to go back on my word. Now it comes out that there's a machlaikis if someone is not teveya you. But there's a very important result of the Shar Mishpat's explanation of the Taz. Again, someone's sitting here years ago, he did Ribbis Tzutza, now he's all nervous. What am I going to do? So you figure you'll be semech on the Taz, mechalis the Taz, and sma. Maybe you'll be semech on the Taz. Should you? I can't say, but let's say you'll want to be semech on the Taz. There's a problem. The Taz, according to this explanation, holds that Yenna is Michael. Now that makes sense if Yenna knows he's entitled to a reimbursement. He knows it's ribbis. He knows he's entitled to reimbursement. He's not Tevayami. But he never heard of this thing. Card, your credit card, that's not ribbis. He doesn't know that this is ribbis. If he has no inkling that it's ribbis, the fact that it's not Tevaya, that's not Mechila. He's not Michael. Now, Bishlam Alayt Ketzais, Okay? So I said, Pshat in the Taz, it would turn out you don't have to pay. But according to the Sharmishpat's explanation of the Taz, it's a problem. Because there's no mechila. It comes out like the Sma, you have a problem because he disagrees with the whole Taz. Even the Taz is kula, if you understand it's a din of mechila, fight, you have a problem. So it would seem, halacha lemaisa, that it's a serious problem. Avadi could be Michael now. I could even ask him to be Michael. But it's not so pashut that a person doesn't have to go back even many years and correct old issues. Now, this comes up. It comes up especially with credit card. I have one case where a brother who uses his brother's credit card for years and years, and I asked him how much the ribbis is by now. He says he can only imagine. It's thousands of dollars. Neither of them is a rich man. And there's a problem. What happened already. It's one thing to be Michael. So we're going to have that later in Balasi's Tshuva and Zion. So we're going to come to, there's a special exemption for Balasi's Tshuva. But this is the din. Pisrei Tshuva Vav, I really should have learned inside. There are two halves to it. Each one is important. The first half is a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the second half is a Night of Yehuda. This Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the earliest source for Rav Moshe's psak that I mentioned once. Rav Moshe has a psak that if you pay ribbis, there are two halves to it. Each one is important. The first half is a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the second half is a Night of Yehuda. This Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the earliest source for Rav Moshe's psak that I mentioned once. Rav Moshe has a psak that if you pay ribbis on a loan before you pay the interest, let's say you have $100,000. I just had this nice this week. I was in Florida. Somebody came to me with this issue. It was a loan of $100,000, and he's paying him $1,000 a month interest. There were 5 or 6 months interest paid already, plus there was a certain fee initially. And the person asked, "What do I do now? I didn't realize it was a ribbis issue. What do we do?" So Rav Moshe has his psak. You aren't over anything, but all you owe the fellow now is $93,000. So right now, you just call him up. You tell him, "Guess what? I think I owe you $100,000. I only owe you $93,000. You have to give him the money back right away because he only lent it to you with an understanding that there'd be interest. Unless there is no interest, you have to return it, which for some people is a problem. But it's a ribbis issue. But Rav Moshe's chap is that whatever was paid as interest before principal is deducted from the principal. And therefore you weren't over on anything. Now the source, the original printed source for this is this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who's mesupik in this. It's here in the beginning of the Pisrei Tshuva. I am Tferes, Tshuvas Tferes, Tzvi, Chalik Yodam, Memches, myself, Hagoy Lachosid, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Zatzal, Nistapik. Be'echa, Shunas, and Lamalva, Ribis, Ktsutsa, Vadayin, Loi, Parolai, Akeren. Let's say this case. $100,000. He gave him $7,000 interest. Umeis, Hamalva. Ah, the Malva died. The Malva, who took the Ribis, he died. It's a wonderful thing. It's not wonderful. Now the children don't have to pay the ribbis back. If he was still alive, he'd have to return the ribbis. The children say, "My father's aveira. I don't have to return it." Now, could the children say, "Pay me the $100,000. I $7,000. You pay my father." Children don't have to pay ribbis for their father. So daily parak and meisam alva im yochel anak isayar shemay akaren shechayv shalim laim mashenasa ribbis ktsutza. Should we say, the children could say, the Leiva could say to the children of the Malva, "I don't owe you $100,000. I only owe you $93,000. That's all I'm paying. Or children could say, no, you owe us $100,000. $7,000 was ribbis. He died. Goodbye. And you owe $100,000. So Rav Moshe has this this psak. Now, I'm going to try to be clear about something that I deal with, I can't say on a weekly basis, but on a bi-weekly basis, and exactly this issue. People draw up a contract, they find out it's ribbis. Very often, it's a father who took a mortgage for his son and didn't realize that it's ribbis. If you take a mortgage in your name, it's ribbis when the son pays, because you took the mortgage, and when you took the mortgage, the bank lent you the money, you lent it to the son. Or credit card issues, or many types of investment issues where you guarantee the principal, which is also ribbis. So they come, let's say this case, it's simple numbers, $100,000, and he paid $1,000 a month, there's $93,000 left. Obviously the rate of interest was 12%, $1,000 a month is $12,000 a year. What? So this is the answer. So what I told him is you have two choices. Either you could tell him, look, it was ribbis, I'll give you back 93, I'm free, fine. Or you could do the following. You can go to him and say, look, we made a mistake. I'm going to return the $93,000 I owe you, and I'll take it again, but instead of as a loan, I'll take it under the terms of a heter iska. Now, there are two important ideas in doing this. First of all, you have to return the $93,000. You can't just say, well, till now it was a loan. Take a heter iska, wave it three times around the head, and now it's a heter iska. No, it has to be returned. So people come to me, they say, how am I going to return it? I don't have $93,000. The only thing is we can write out a check. I told you it's cash in the account, yeah? So what they do, usually, or often, the person owns real estate, owns a house. So what we do is, have them come to me, because doing the kinyanim has to be done properly. And he, the loiva, pays back the loan by giving the malva $93,000 worth of his house. With a kinyan, with a kinyan sodra and kinyan shtar, with the two kinyanim, and so that alone is paid up. And he owns the house. What?
No chance of tax.
Not filed with the city court. Then the malva takes the $93,000 worth of equity in the house, and he gives it back to the loiva with a kinyan under the terms of a heter iska. Now, till here, everything is pashut. In the book, if you want to find it, you look under heter iska, subtitle Changing Loan to Heter Iska, describes how to do a kinyan and all. This is where the catch comes up. The person wants 12% on his money, so you want to drop heter iska for 12%, you can do it. House values today go up 12%, fine. Very often, he says, look, I feel bad. How can I give him back the $7,000? So you know what we'll do? Let's make the heter iska for 13%. And we'll make it for 13%, I'll end up giving him back those $7,000. Can one do that or not? It's not so clear if a person could do that. If you phrase it this way, I want to give you the $7,000, I'm not allowed to, so let's do it this way. It would seem to be, as long as it's a quid pro quo, it would seem to be a problem. On the other hand, if a person says, look, I'm Michael the $7,000, I mean, I know I can't be Tevada $7,000, it's gone, I agree now for 12%, the other person says, you know what, I'll give you 13%, it's not spoken out as a trade-off. In iska, you can do whatever you want. You can do an iska as a business deal. You can do whatever you want. Where? What?
After that $7,000, he doesn't want to pay the
13%
the second year. So
yeah.
Negotiate it back down.
After that, as soon as it hits $7,000, negotiate it down. It would seem to be a problem. As long as it's a trade off, it would seem to be a problem. When I tell people, they ask me, they should ask a shiloh by whoever they always hear shilohs to, whether you could do it, because there's some world that's okay, some world that's not okay. And people talk to me beforehand, I tell them, look, you know, I don't take achrayus. Yeah, some rabbanim will hold it's mutter, some hold it's not mutter. I know some rabbanim are specialized in ribbis, some hold it's okay, some hold it's not okay. But one thing, you don't talk to him this way. You don't say a word to him. I'm talking to you this way, I'm the go-between. You, we're going to sit down and we'll make it 13%, finished. Usually they agree to just do it for a higher percent, and it'll more or less even out. They usually supreme with that. And you could do it that way. But this is, again, this is all based on Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Well, not for Rabbi Akiva, for Moshe Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You would say the 7,000 are ribbis, it's over. And now you can do it 100,000. It would be easier. Do it 100,000 and finish. But there would have been this ribbis. The second half of the Pesachei Tshuva, which is in the Yehuda's Chiddush, will leave me a session for next Sunday.